Good morning. 10:12 a.m. on I think it's 10:12 on the 26th. It's a Sunday morning. I'm very late this morning, and I'm paying for it in heat. Yep. It's a quiet Sunday, other than the main street, which is packed with people driving to and from church, I think. This is usually the time when I go to the grocery store if I have to go on a Sunday, because most people are otherwise engaged in this town on a Sunday morning. I was otherwise engaged with PC Herring. Hi, PC. He invited me to try out a Minecraft server. And it's quite a challenge. I've have to relearn everything because it's an old version of Minecraft. And so all of the mod packs are the old versions of the mod packs. So trying to figure out how stuff worked then, because it doesn't work that way anymore, is quite a challenge. It's quite a mind flip. And I spent too much time doing it yesterday. I spent too much time doing it this morning, so 7 o'clock came and went, and I still sat. I wasn't going to go. I was sitting there thinking, I'm not going to go today, I'm not going to go today, I'm not going to go today. And I looked at my calendar and realized I haven't missed a day. I haven't missed a day all week. So, the thermometer said 70, 69. The actual temperature is probably quite a lot warmer in the sun. But I'm out. I'm walking, I'm talking. I don't have anything to talk about. I should have written some words yesterday. I get to the end of the day and I had a regular Saturday night, 8 o'clock event that I go to online. And when it was over, I planned to, get my coffee, get my tea, maybe get a glass of milk or something, and put in an hour and get at least 1,000 words for yesterday. But I wrote about 7 words and then found myself drifting off to sleep. Now, I'm pretty sure it wasn't because of the 7 words. I, for some reason, hit the wall and just went, ugh. And that was it. So rather than struggle with trying to stay awake, trying to find words, trying to force myself to write words, I just took a zero for the day. Took a mulligan. Today is a do-over. It's the 26th. I have got to get this thing moving. And mostly that means I need to ration my Minecrafting, ration my game playing. Which is something I know how to do. I just need to actually do it, which is always a challenge. Well, there's still a little shade here, that's good. The East March, heading eastward along that long concrete trail. That's going to be hot. But down here in the neighborhood, I still got a little bit of shade, that's good. I'm hungry very long because in addition to not doing my work, I also did not do breakfast. And I am operating on about a cup and a half of coffee. I want my food. My stomach is saying, yes, food would be good. So apparently, Chris Rush had a post picked up by the Passive Voice, and John Ward sent it to me, about how she suddenly realized that the unit sales was the one factor she kept mistaking, she kept leaving, she kept not closing the loop on. And when your royalties are only a buck a copy, like you would from a trad pub, that means you have to sell 100,000 copies to make $100,000 a year. But when you're an indie, like me, selling books at $4.95, I need to sell about 33,000 to make $100,000 a year. That's across all titles that are priced at $4.95. The series sells well. And for some reason, this is apparently only 1% of indies actually sell that many books, which is basically 1,000 books a month, or 300, yeah, basically 1,000 books a month. 1,000 books a month. Times 350. Is $3,500 a month times 12 months is something north of $100,000 a year. $1,000 a month is, you know, 1,000 divided by 30 is 33 times 30 is 99 with a zero. So 990 books. 33 books a day is 1,000 books a month. Works out. I'm terrible with head math, particularly when it comes to multiplication, particularly when I'm hungry, particularly when I'm trying to do something else like not fall over while I'm walking, so. I think that's right. 33 times 3 would be 99. Multiply that times 10 is 990. So, 34 times 3 is over 100, 102. So yeah, 33 books. Sell 33 books a day, you'll sell 1,000 books, you'll make $3,500 bucks a month. Times 12, what is that? Oh, I think that's my problem. Times 12, it falls down. Because that's only a third of the many as you need to sell a day to make $100,000 a year. Yeah, don't listen to me. I'm kind of dumb. Most. Need to sell 33,000 units a year. Divide that by 12. 36 divided by 12 would be 4,000. Would be 3,000. 36 divided by 12 will be 3,000 books a month, or basically 100 books a day. There we go. That makes more sense. So 100 books a day, so, yeah. It was about a third as many as I needed. Still, I'm not selling 100 books a day anymore. I used to sell, on a normal day, I would sell between 40 and 50 books a day. I'm selling between 35 and 45 books a day, and making up the difference in page reads because I'm in Kindle Select, and making up the difference plus, not just making up the difference. I'm more than making up the difference. It still pays better to be in Kindle Select than to be wide, to be in Nook and Kobo. Kobo is really the only other market that's got any kind of potential. Nook is dying. I sort of suspected Nook to have gone away by now. I don't know how much longer they'll survive. If they stay here till next summer, I'll be very surprised. That'll be quite shocking, actually. The Passive Guy post had a he had a little post script that he put on it about how this was the definition of disruptive technology, and it is a disruptive technology. But the industry that's being disrupted, and I know I've talked about this before, but the industry that's being disrupted is not publishing. Publishing is not being disrupted. Reading is being disrupted, and that's having echoes back through the supply chain. Now, the reason that I'm quibbling over this seems like perhaps a distinction without significant meaning. But the reality is understanding what a disruptive technology does. The first requirement for disruptive technology is that there has to be an underserved customer base. There has to be an underserved clientele. And publishers have no underserved clientele. None. Because publishers sell books to bookstores. Bookstores have all the books the publishers want to send them. The problem being, of course, that the publishers publish many books and the bookstores can't stock many books. So the bookstores are not being underserved because they've got all the books that they can handle. Writers are not publishers' clientele, they're a provider, they're a source. You're not a customer of publishing. Publishing is a customer of writers, and writers have an underserved clientele, but it's not publishers, it's readers, because readers are the ones who are underserved. So by going direct to a reader, an indie like me, helps to disrupt reading. And the reading disruption is really ebooks and digital distribution. That shift in distribution is what's making the change in reading possible. It's what is actually disrupting reading. Jeez, I hear you, but I don't see you. There's a big jet up there somewhere. People out mowing lawns in the heat of the day. My God. So, yeah, there's a lot of for me, it's a question of definition. It's a question of what is disruptive? How is the disruption happening? Why does it work the way it works? Disruption works because of a particular mechanic, because of a particular way things work. Before ebooks, specifically before Kindle got adopted by more than 16% of the heavy reader population, before ebooks, Distribution was bookstore. Even CreateSpace, which provided books for online retailers like Amazon, didn't really begin to take off because bookstores were everywhere and it was easy to go to a bookstore and find a book you wanted to read, if not the book you went there for. That's one of the differences. People used to go to bookstores to find out what was available. Now, what happened to bookstores is that people start hearing about books and they go to the bookstore to find them and they're not there because bookstore doesn't stock them, because bookstore can only stock so many titles. Once you get outside of the 100,000 titles, which is nothing in reader's world, once you get outside 100,000 titles, all stratified by genre, by subgenre, by price, it's very hard to find a book at the bookstore anymore. It's very hard to find the particular book at the bookstore anymore. So if you're looking for a particular book, nobody goes to the bookstore anymore. You go to Amazon. And because of the e-books aren't at the bookstore to begin with, they go to Amazon. Because Amazon is where the books are. Kobo, maybe. Nook, if you're in the U.S. But if you're in Canada, you go to Kobo or Amazon. If you're in England, you go to Kobo or Amazon. I think you can still get a Nook book there, but they closed their affiliate store. Now, the U.S. is still the largest market. There are as many English readers in China as there are in the United States. Unfortunately, a lot of them, I don't know. I don't know where they're getting their books. Japan, we're getting some books from Japan. I sell some books from Japan every month. I sell paperbacks in Japan through the translation every month. Whew, boy, that was hot. But, yeah. What's being disrupted is reading, because you don't need to put your pants on to find a book anymore. You don't need to wait for the store to open. Go to the store only to find that the book that you wanted isn't actually there anymore. Because the bookstore is on your desk or on your phone. The bookstore is where you are. Not the other way around. And that is a disruption in reading. It has an effect on bookstores. It has an effect on publishers. But it's a disruption in reading. And with that, I am actually in the cool garage. And back. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.